Podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the first of what should be many Pod Blast entries here for the PTBN Greatest WWE Wrestler of All Time Project. I am JT. Joining me here on this maiden voyage of this Pod Blast series is my man from up north, Aaron George. Aaron, how are you?
It is hot here, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. It's like, what, once a year? About 1 week a year, you can say that?
Yeah, it's about 65, so, you know, we're really sweating up here.
He's got the shorts on, so, you know, it means business tonight. So, we're here to make a case, and we're going to, like I said, have a lot of entries in this series where we either break down some matches, we break down one of the entrants, one of the nominees for the project. You can learn about the project at PlayStation.com. We can plug that at the end. But since we only have about 10 minutes here, Aaron, I thought we could dive right in. And the guy we're talking about tonight is a very interesting one to me, and that is Marty Jannetty. And the reason he's interesting is when I first made this, I nominated him. He was like the first guy I nominated. And when I think of this list, like, he just jumps out to me as an instant entry for me. Like, I just know I'm going to have Marty Jannetty in my top 100. I just feel it, and I know it. And whether the math bears out or not, I'm going to make sure he's in there because I think he belongs in, and he's one of my favorites. And it was weird because as I saw the other people posting in that nomination thread and in his proper thread on the Facebook page, it didn't seem as, like, locked up. And I was like, whoa, like, you know, this seemed like a no-brainer to me. So I'm like, what am I missing? Where do you stand on Marty?
Well, so to me, it's almost the opposite. Like, I'm going to preface this by saying I do like Marty Jannetty. I think right. He's very good. I like the Rockers. I like everything like that. But to me, the idea that he is a lock seems crazy to me.
Right.
Like that. That's the idea that seems crazy. Like he might end up making my list in the end. It's very possible. But right. For me, like, there were just two. He's on the bubble. Okay. He's on the bubble for me. And what it will take for him to make it is further analysis of other guys falling off.
Right. I think that's fair. And it was a culture shock to me in a good way. Cause it's like, all right, you know, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to see why people don't feel this way about Marty Jannetty. Because I think when you watch a lot of Rockers stuff, to me, Marty stands out more than Shawn Michaels in a lot of those matches. Like, he seems like the glue to many of those matches, whether he's getting the hot tag, whether he's doing his fantastic selling. You know, neither guy stood out when it came to promo work in the Rockers. So it's not like he was just always standing there. Like, it's like a Hart Foundation kind of thing or whatever. One guy is, you know, clearly above the other. And I say that as Anvil being above Brett when it came to promos. But with Jannetty and Shawn, it always seemed to me that Jannetty was kind of the lead dog. And it wasn't until that late, you know, very late in their run in 91 to me when Michael started to kind of pull ahead and you saw the, you know, saw what he had in him to be a singles megastar. And do you feel that Jannetty, you know, fairly or unfairly gets judged against that measuring stick? Because Shawn, to many of us, I mean, he's like a top fiver. So it feels like unfair to me that Jannetty gets his career measured against Shawn's.
I think it's unfair, but I think there is something in it that, like, I don't think Jannetty's ever been able to get away. And this is one of my knocks against him. He's never been able to get away and have an identity of his own that exists without the Rockers or Shawn Michaels.
Right.
Every character beat he had in the promotion was as a relation to either the team or Shawn Michaels, the feud, or forming another team with Leaf Cassidy, which was the new Rockers. Right. Yeah. It was just so Rocker-centric. So I don't think it's fair. I don't think in terms of his talent, I don't think the being the Marty Jannetty of the team, which has kind of become the saying now, is fair either. But the problem is there's never any follow-up with him as a single star. It might be because he's the guy who's been fired the most times.
Right.
That might play into it too. But I think that's quite telling in the end, is that he was never able to get beyond that. Whereas many other tag team wrestlers could. I mean, even Jacques Rougeau was the Mountie, right?
Right. But in a way, it's charming to me because it's like, the guy that he's portraying, this guy stuck in the 80s, that's like a legitimate person. Like a rocker stuck in the 80s who's obsessed with hair metal music, with still clings to the long hair and the garish color. Like, to me, that's an actual type of person. So the fact that he can't let go of his glory years of the 80s and he still wants to rock and roll and strut and stroll is as played out as it is. You know, he's still, like, in the mid-90s, everyone's moved on to grunge or whatever else, and he is still like, no, fucking Poison's the best. You know, like, he's a obsessed with the 80s. To me, it's,
see, that's
it's like
what I got from, that's what I got from Leif Cassidy.
Right. Well, Cassidy's like a 70s pop icon, right? Was that what he was supposed to be? Yeah.
Yeah. Marty Jannetty just looks sad.
Yeah. Many of those guys are sad.
I know a few of them. They are very sad.
Right. They're very sad. Well, Canada, for sure. I mean, you guys are way behind with that.
If you go see a Motley Crue concert today, like, there's no happiness in that building.
It is all Marty Jannetty's. In a good way. So Marty, I think they have an interesting catalog of matches too. So if you look at, like, I mean, I'm putting aside the classics that everyone knows, right? I mean, you know the Orient Express match, you know the match on Raw where he wins a title. But there's some really other good ones too that I would recommend checking out. So he's got some good tag work. One that's high profile that I always like, of course, is the Twin Towers of WrestleMania 5. To me, that is like the ideal WWF big man versus little man. Like, big guys murdering the little guys, then bumping like crazy, getting a hope spot, then just getting flatlined. That's like a peak entry in that type of match for me. They have an awesome match with the Powers of Pain, of all fucking people, in 1990 at MSG. They have another one against Demolition in 88 at MSG. They have some good matches with the Rougeaus in Europe in 89. He has two to me that are like really stand out as singles matches, because you always hear about the ones with Michaels in 93. He's got the one with Doink on Raw, which is great. And then his IC title defense, that's his only IC title match as champion against Bam Bam Bigelow on Raw, is awesome too. He's got some good stuff with 1-2-3 Kid against Quebecers. There is a fan cam out there of the 117 MSG house show match where they lose the titles back to the Quebecers, which is maybe the best of his whole run. He has a good match with Shawn Michaels in 96 when Michaels is champion. And then, of course, his 05 run is kind of the icing on the cake for me, where he comes back, he has the Rocker reunion match on Raw, and then an awesome match with Kurt Angle on SmackDown out of nowhere in 2005. So to me, for a guy that, you know, was known for being a drug addict and being flaky, like, he's actually had more of a, you know, longevity than a lot of guys, but to his, you know, whatever, to his credit, I guess, he always gets stoned at the right time, because I don't feel like he ever, like, outstays his welcome. You know, like, he's gone before you can kind of get sick of him. So he's got this.
I mean, is that how you felt in 96?
Yeah. Rockers? Well, I mean, look at that tag division. I would say they might be the best team in that division until Furnace and LaFon come around
now.
But I'm just saying, he stood out amongst his peers. But okay, if you want to say by the end of 96, you're kind of burnt on him. But I thought he was good into mid 96, because he's got the stuff where he's teaming with Razor. Like, those are some pretty good matches in there. He has the
Survivor Series match too, is fun.
Yeah, and he's kind of the ace of that match on the face side. And then the match with Sean is in early 96. So, I mean, if you want to say the new Rocker stuff, he was kind of cooked. But I don't think I was in a position where I'm like, oh, get out of here. Maybe he's just like, all right, he's not going anywhere. So, to me, he's got this weird balance of, like, good longevity, but he never really had that stretch that we've seen talked about with other guys where he just dragged on. So, you know, any counterpoints to any of those matches, or any comments there?
My only counterpoint to them was that, like, I would agree that those matches are all very good. Right? Like, I think they're all good, bordering on great. I think where it becomes a problem is that, like, you're going to run into a lot of guys who have a lot of very good matches. Mm-hmm. Right? And what I'm looking for in the top 100 is the guys who have more of a collection of either of great matches or great moments. Mm-hmm. And it's got to go past a handful. Right, and I think what actually kind of hurts Marty Jannetty and the Rockers anyway is how poorly, for the most part. I mean, the WrestleMania 5 match, I agree, was great. I actually really love the opener to WrestleMania 7 as well. I don't know if you mentioned that one, and the Royal Rumble. But those are three pay per views, and I just feel they were so poorly used on pay per view in general. Like, in an era where they could have been having classic matches with a bunch of different teams. Like, they're not even on SummerSlam 91, right?
Yeah, that's always been such a weird decision. And then, I mean, they do have the one real bomb is the WrestleMania 6 against the Orient Express. But, you know, another one we didn't mention, SummerSlam 90 against Power and Glory. That's all Jannetty, and that is a really fun 2-on-1 beatdown where he just gets the shit kicked out of him.
I think that's the best match on that show.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's all him. You know, Sean's on the floor that whole match. So, you know, he's got, and I agree with you, you know, I agree with you. He's got a lot of very good stuff, which is why, in my mind, he's probably going to be in the 85 to 100 range. You know, it just kind of ekes in. I would never argue he should be higher, but I do think when you look at the breadth of very good to lack of, like, poor, you know, like, he doesn't have a lot of shit matches out there.
No, I mean, even the run in 96, they're not bad matches.
Right, right.
Like, they're fine, you know, it's just... they're in there with the Godwins, you know?
Yeah, right. Like, how much can you possibly do? And poor, Chris Candido with a broken neck. You know, that's like their best guy that they're working
with. Just standing there on the sidelines.
Can do nothing else.
He doesn't have anything bad. Like, it's just, it's the lack of truly great. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think there's a couple that get there, you know?
Right.
And I think you, when we were talking on the chats, I think you tend to value the IC moment a little higher than I do as well. Like when he wins the title for the first time.
Right.
But like, even if you take that and you take the barbershop window, what hurts him for me is the lack of great, really great moments.
Yeah. And there were a team that unfortunately was never really given, and they just weren't given the shot at great moments. But yeah, which does hurt him. The third one I'd probably throw in there is with the mirror when he smashes it over Sherry by accident. Like that was a pretty, pretty good moment too.
Fun.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts on Marty?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go on. I was just going to say it's a shame because like they didn't really too many great moments because they're arguably maybe the best team the WWF had.
Oh, for sure. Oh, it, maybe of all time. I mean, they're probably a top five team of all time in WWF history, just based on work rate. And you know they had a start and stop. They had a chance to be champions in late '90, and then you know they did the broken rope thing and reversed the. Reverse course and took the belts off of them, and it hurt them. I mean, I do wonder if he would have stuck around in early '93 for those few months instead of you know getting shit canned after the Rumble match with Shawn. If they would have fought at Mania 9, and maybe he wins the title there. If we look at it a bit differently, but I think that Raw moment's worth you know what happened, and then the stuff with you know it's funny because it's kind of buried on those late '93 Raws. But he had a really fun feud with him and Kid versus Johnny Polo, and the Quebecers are part of it. But I think people remember the title win on Raw, but they forget about like the 5 month build to that moment, which was really fun because Polo was like fucking with those guys for months. And it was pretty cathartic when they finally beat him because Scott and I just watched them all. I was like, wow, I forgot about all this stuff.
Yeah. I just remember the time too, watching it. And I mean, I don't mean this as a slight to them, but it was great that they won, but it always felt like a step down for the titles when they won for me. Mm. Like it was going from like a legit as the Quebecers were,
right.
Like a legit team to a team that is look, underdogs completely have a place in wrestling, but it did feel a bit of a devaluation. That's kind of how I felt when he won the Intercontinental too, even though they had the Rockers history.
You're just a Montreal homer.
I know, and you know what? When I saw Sean screw Brett, I was cheering for Sean.
Okay, maybe you're not.
Was odd.
But the tag title thing, is that more Kid or Jannetty that devalued that title?
I think Jannetty because there was more of a – there felt like more of a push behind Kid.
Mm.
Like even coming out of that Raw where he won the Intercontinental title match, when I look back at that Raw, that's not the moment that I remember or that feels as important as Kid beating Razor.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's necessarily Jannetty's fault. I just think that's how they promoted it and went forward with it.
Right. Well, I think partially because, you know, it was Jannetty in the end. You know, they wanted the belt on Michaels. Like, they did it as a hot shot. Whereas Kid, it was meant to establish him. But, all right, this was fun. So, what is your takeaway, Aaron? Are you going to watch some of these matches and maybe we can reconvene in a couple of months and talk Jannetty again?
Yeah, I mean, like, for sure. I mean, for me, the matches aren't even the thing. I will actually rewatch them because there's been a couple I haven't watched in a while.
Okay.
But it's really about – what I might go back and rewatch is watch that Johnny Polo build because I want to see more character stuff from Jannetty.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got some decent stuff in there. Like he's on commentary one of the weeks. And then what hurts him though, this is one of the few times it really hurt that he got fired because they were really building to something. And I do think they should have done – and maybe they were going to do – Kid and Jannetty against the Quebecers at WrestleMania 10 for the titles again because that feud continued into February.
it would have been so much better than what we got.
So much better. Because then he was supposed to fight – I think he's supposed to fight Polo again on a Raw. And there was something where he was supposed to be and then he's just gone. So I think that was one of the few times the firing really ended up hurting him. But no, I'm with you. I mean, there's stuff beyond the matches. Obviously, I think nuance is sneaky for him because I think he's flexible in the fact that he can work like very good to great tag and as a singles guy. I thought he was good at selling and good at getting the hot tag and coming in as a House of Fire. Obviously, he never got a chance as a heel, but I think he has good longevity.
Well, he did in 96 he was, but...
Yeah, I mean, it was fodder heel.
But I mean, but to me, that's what hurts him is that like, he could have gone different there.
Right.
Like, I'm sure there was no one saying, like, just be bored Marty Jannetty.
Right, yeah, yeah. Just be angry Marty Jannetty still clinging to your past. But so I think...
You have a job. You have a job.
Be happy. It's going to go away soon. But yeah, I think the nuance is interesting there. And obviously promo hurts him. But anyway, here and there. So we'll be back with more of these. I think Aaron will be back, probably myself, Chad, Brad, others as well, Scott, throughout the whole duration of this project. Again, go to PlaceNation.com, search Greatest WWE Wrestler Ever. You get all the information. You can join our Facebook group about the chatting about it. And of course, you can submit a ballot even if you're not part of the discussion. We'll have due dates as we get closer to the end of the year. So, Aaron, any final comments on Marjorie Nettie?
He's a very pretty man.
Rock and roll. Scroll. Talk to you later.